Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that your Spirit would come and speak into every life and heart here today. Inspire us to do great things for you. Inspire us to follow your way, to enter through the gate, to receive abundant life, to offer eternal life, and to see your kingdom grow in this place, in this city, and in this land, for the glory of Christ our Saviour. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." Well, did any of you go out for a walk last night? None of you went out. Imagine the scene out there. The wind and the rain was lashing the place. I think during the night it got even worse if our windows were anything to go by. Or maybe that was just Paula hitting the windows. I'm not quite sure. But it was some night, wasn't it? And even early this morning. You know, whenever we think about that, we often have a picture of sort of a shepherd and sheep and the sun shining and the hills look lovely and it's all great out there. But the shepherd is out in the sort of weather that it was last night. Whenever the rain's coming and whenever the storms lash in the place and whenever there's dangers out there. And we used to live in Fermanagh, and right beside us was a lake that sometimes came about halfway up the field towards where we lived in the winter time. And there used to be sheep on it. And there was also a dike around the place where we lived, you know. So there was this basement, and it could be quite dangerous for the sheep in the field there. The shepherd would be there in the times that Jesus was talking about, whenever it was like that. He would be there all night looking after the sheep. And they had an enclosure where the shepherd would sleep across the enclosure and literally be the gate. He would decide who could come in and who could go out, and more importantly, who couldn't. There were some foxes around the field where we used to live. And of course, the foxes looked lovely, but the farmers weren't too keen on that. And so the sheep had to be protected, particularly the lambs, from the dangers that were out there. In John 10, it's very clear, the gate to the sheep is Jesus himself. It is Jesus Christ alone who has the authority to determine which sheep can enter his fold and which cannot. He alone, it is who is the only authority that can give access to his sheep because they are his. And he is the only gate. He is the good and only true shepherd. He protects the sheep even in the worst of storms. And so that's why he said, "I am the gate for the sheep." Well, what sort of gate is he? First of all, he is the gate of protection. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Now imagine again that storm last night and needing protection, and you come to a person who will protect and offer shelter. And Jesus is that gate of protection, the only one to offer safety and protection for everyone who seeks to find eternal life and salvation. Anyone who hopes to find rest and safe pasture must enter through the only gate and that God says will lead to salvation. That is the true gate of Jesus Christ. And in him, protection, safety, and a place to rest are found. A story about a woman many years ago, a true story about a woman making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her baby in her arms, and she was overtaken by a blizzard. She never reached her destination. And when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found sadly beneath a mound of snow. But they discovered that before her death, she had taken off her outer clothing and wrapped them around her baby. And when they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found that he was alive and well. She had given her life for her child, proving the depths of her love as a mother for that little baby. And years later, well, that child's name was David Lloyd George. He became the Prime Minister. He became one of the great statesmen of this land. And if we think back even further, 2,000 years ago, a father gave up his son to become our good shepherd, to protect our lives for eternal life, and to give us the way to life abundant through his son. God sent his son, and he runs to us. That's how passionately he feels about protecting his flock. He runs to us, offering protection and safety from all who would attack. And in 1 Peter 5 and verses 8 to 9, the dangers that are out there are described in this way. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. In the face of these dangers and trials, we are to hear that the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Everyone who enters by the gate is in safety, is saved, and it is God who seeks and searches for his flock, for us as individuals and as people called together to be part of his flock. It is through this gate that those who are saved by the Good Shepherd will go in and out and find pasture, will find good things, the most important things for their lives, the eternal things, that eternal love that comes down to heaven for each one of us, and that comes down to heaven for every person in the world, if they will come to the gate and enter by Christ. It is the Lord Jesus who permits sheep to enter, but also who keeps sheep out who are not part of his flock. And so, even when one wanders off, he'll leave the 99 and he will go and search for the one. That's how passionately he feels about the salvation of each person and each soul. And it's so important that we retain that passion for the salvation of souls, because that is Jesus' passion. And as we think about this 10,000 lives and the things that are coming up, not only in this church, but in churches across this city, let's think who we can invite, who we can tell about the things happening, that they may have an opportunity to hear the gospel, to enter by the gate, and to receive Christ. Because if we can't be passionate about that, well then, we can't be passionate about very much. 10,000 lives is an opportunity to do that. So if you know somebody who loves sport, invite them to the sportsperson's morning. And that's for men and women, and boys and girls can come as well. And we're going to have that across in the hall. We have a women's evening coming up around April or May time. And so we'd love to see women that don't yet know Jesus coming to that. There's going to be events in the different churches happening over the next 2 or 3 months. We have a special youth evening coming up the beginning of March. We have a guy called Barry Woodward coming the third weekend of March, speaking here on Sunday morning. So invite your neighbors, invite your friends, but he's also doing Friday evening and Saturday morning at other venues, and there's going to be a joint service in Seymour Street Methodist that evening with him. So, you know, be passionate about this. Think who you can invite, who you'll meet for coffee this week, who you'll see in work, who's looking for a gate to enter by, who's looking for protection, who's looking for security, and who's looking for purpose. Don't miss the opportunity and go for it. In Ezekiel 34 and verses 12 to 15, we hear how Jesus goes to protect his sheep, how he looks after them. And this is what it says. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my flock. I will seek them, and I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. They will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and make them lie down, declares the Sovereign Lord. So all of these centuries before Christ was even born, the prophet was describing how he would seek out the sheep, how he would look for those that are scattered, how he would offer protection, how he would give them good things, a good pasture to rest and to lie down, and how God would offer protection to all who come to him, how they would be fed in that good pasture. And then Jesus came, the Son of God, to fulfill that prophecy. And notice how he cares and searches for his sheep, because they are in fact his flock. He is the true gate that leads to eternal life, and he knows who are his and have been given to him by the Father. He will make sure that his sheep have open access to go in and to go out, to be cared for. And it is because of that immense love of God that he sent his Son to seek us and to save us from the dangers and destructiveness of the world's values. 1 John 2 and verses 15 to 16 warns us of those dangers in the world. Do not love the world for anything in it. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Whoever follows the will of God receives eternal life. Whoever enters through the gate receives life abundant. And that life abundant means that you have not only protection, but you have a new purpose. And the gate is secondly the gate of purpose. Jesus said, whoever enters through me will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, no one can fulfill the purposes of the Good Shepherd until they join the flock. We are created for a purpose, and God has a good plan for our lives. It is a plan that is summed up in Ephesians 2 and verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And so God has a purpose for each one of us. Good works for all who have entered by the gate. That we reflect the values, the standards, the ways of the shepherd. And he wants us to do those good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. He has that plan for your life and for mine. He has opened a gate for us to find and to follow and to finish that plan every day of our lives. He values, loves, and wants to glorify his Son through each of us living with purpose and freedom. As John 10 and verse 9 says, to come in and go out and find pasture or fulfill God's purpose by living for him. It's interesting that on Friday evening, some of us were along at a mission evening from the South American Mission Society, and one of our parishioners, Stephen McElhenney, is their mission director. But there was a young couple talking near the end of that evening, and they were sharing their story. And they were, a passionate young couple who wanted to follow Christ, to serve him, to see people come to faith, and to see God glorified. So they'd all good intentions. And then they shared their story of leaving here and going to South America and thinking, we're going to go out, we're going to share the gospel, and lots of people will become Christians. And then whenever they arrived, they found that there were two really pressing needs. They found that the first need was that people needed to learn English. And so that's what the guy set about. He became an English teacher. And so for a number of years, he taught English. And he did that faithfully, day by day. And the second thing, and his wife came from a business background, and they needed to find a way of developing enterprises that freed them from being ensnared by the gangs that were around. Because where there's a void, well then there will be those who take advantage of that, who impose their will on the lives of people, who threaten people's lives, who take over illegal practices, and so money isn't available for ordinary people in the community. And so for a number of years, she developed micro-enterprises that enabled people to earn a living and to have a way that got them out of the snares of the gangs in that area. And so having gone out to be in the first place evangelists, well, God used them for something different initially. And as they came to the end of their time there, they suddenly found doors opening to the gospel and to people asking, you know, well, you came here and you taught us English, and you came here and you gave us businesses that we could develop. And why are you doing this? And so they were able to say, well, we do this because there is a Savior, there is a Good Shepherd, and he wants you to enter in. And others have taken on that work. So God has a purpose and plan. We may not see it, but he loves to use our gifts to bless others and to open the gate to life for many to enter in. There's a lovely story, a heartbreaking story in some ways, from all those years ago when slavery was still very acceptable and prevalent in society. And it's a story of doors being opened to freedom, to service, and to kindness. And just last Sunday, Our Archbishop retired, and it was interesting reading about his retirement, and he said that one of the aims that he had during his time was that we would be more generous as Christians, that we would show greater kindness. And this is a story of kindness and generosity. This young girl was being sold at an auction one day. She was a beautiful girl, tall and slender, and so the bidding was keen and quickly mounted higher and higher until at last only two men were left bidding for her ownership. The one, a low, uncouth fellow who swearingly raised his bid every time to outbid the other fellow, a quiet man of refinement. And finally the bidding stopped, and to the gentleman who had bid so very earnestly were given the papers which made him the lawful owner of the young girl. With a shove, the auctioneer presented her to the highest bidder, her new master. And so she stumbled forward but straightened herself up. Proudly and defiantly she stood before him, hating him with every part of her being. Suddenly, a change came over her face. First, there was a look of pure amazement as she looked closely at what was happening, and then followed by one of utter incredulity. Her owner was ripping up the papers of ownership, and with a smile of kindness said to the now trembling girl, "My dear, you are free. I bought you that I might free you." Too stunned for speech, the girl merely stared till finally, with a cry of happiness too deep for words, she cast herself at the man's feet and through her tears exclaimed, "O Master, I love you and serve you for life." What the papers of ownership could not do, the man's kindness had won completely. And in the same way, the Lord Jesus has loved you. He has paid the price that he might buy you from the slavery of sin and of Satan. He has done that to set you free, to give you life abundantly, and to live it abundantly, that you may see doors open in your life, and that you may open doors and gates for others. And the challenge now for each of us is to say to him, "Lord Jesus, I will love you, I will serve you, and fulfill God's purposes for the rest of my life." That is the challenge for each of us, to fulfill God's purpose, the gate of purpose. And finally, the gate of provision. Jesus provides everything we need. And yet around us, as I've mentioned, false ways abound. So there are many false religions and false ways that are in society today. And people are hungry to find a way in life. And so very often they end up following ways that really are not good, that are not true, that are not honest, that are not a way to life. And so the challenge more than ever for us as Christians is to offer that true way, the way that directs people away from false religions and false hopes and false Christs. Those ways are the ways of thieves and robbers who try to steal and kill and destroy God's sheep. But they can't, because when we enter through the gate of Christ, he offers us protection. False leaders and false religions try and every trick in the book, and they continually come up with new ways to attempt to pull the sheep away from Christ and to themselves. However, Jesus says that this cannot and must not happen. He says, "I am the true gate that leads to abundant life." John 10, verses 9 and 10, in the New Living Translation. I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. This is the way of Christ, to a rich and satisfying life. Now, make no mistake, it is not about having the Lamborghini in the driveway. It is about having those deep riches of the soul and of life eternal. And it is a way that is richer than any of the riches in the world. It is the gate to salvation, to eternal life, to abundant spiritual life. And the Bible makes this very clear in lots of places. John 5 and verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. And from Romans 6, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism and faith into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. And we need to capture the vision of this newness of life. It is the abundant life that springs forward in the living water that only Christ can offer. The water of life that he offered to that woman at the well. And it brings a whole newness of life described in Romans 6, 20-23. And just listen to the difference and the results that come whenever you receive that freedom and provision from Christ. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see the contrast there from being in slavery to eternal life, the free gift of God through Jesus Christ, who is the gate of protection, the gate of purpose, the gate of provision, not only for us as individuals, but for the world. And that's the message that we are to share. It's the message we're to receive, to go in and then to go out with it. It is the Lord Jesus who gives life, the perfect Savior and the perfect gate for us to enter and to receive eternal life and to offer that to as many people as possible. As I mentioned, we used to live just outside of Enniskillen in a big house out in the country with sheep around and Loch Earn down below and all of that. Now imagine if somebody came to me and said, well, could you tell me the way to Enniskillen or the way to where you used to live in that well-known place of Belnalek? How many people know it? Not too many. Oh, a few do. I'm all surprised. But imagine if somebody didn't know the way and came to me and said, you know, want to go there? Want to see what that's like? And I said, well, go to Sprucefield Roundabout and choose a way to go. Well, they wouldn't get there. You know, they'd be completely lost. And so often we are told that, well, you choose your own way. You choose whatever way feels good to you. You choose the way that is trendy at the moment. Jesus says there is a way. There is a direction. There is a purpose. There is a provision for every life in this world. And he provides it. He is the gate. And he is the gate to abundant life and to eternal life. There is only one gate provided by God the Father. And then lives directed by the Holy Spirit through the gate of Christ find the true way for life, the true way to live today, the true way to eternal life. And we should never be ashamed of that in the face of all the different ideologies that are out in the world. Because Jesus came as the exclusive way to the Father's love, as the exclusive way to eternal life. The teaching of Jesus is very clear. There is a wonderful and unique way to living the abundant life, to receiving eternal life, and that way is to enter by the gate. It may be that God is calling you to South America, or as we prayed earlier on for the folks in Burkina Faso or Ivory Coast, or to Uganda, or like our team going to South Sudan. But I suspect for most of us that our primary calling is to where we are now and to where we serve now. There may be new things that open up, but I suspect that that's the calling for most of us. And the challenge in the midst of what we're doing, whether it is in business or whether it is in our jobs day by day, whether it is in schools or in our homes, is to follow that way of Jesus and to offer that to others. And as we said earlier on, there is that opportunity as well for those who would be interested to serve as interns here from September this year through to summer 2021. And if you'd be interested in giving 20 hours a week to that, receiving training through our diocesan authorities and our youth and children's and pastoral, as well as through the cathedral here, please do speak to me afterwards. We're passionate to grow God's church in this city. And if you feel the Spirit nudging you towards that, well then, enter through the gate, or at least inquire, is that the gate that you're to go through for part of next year, giving 20 hours a week to that. More importantly, first of all, we must enter through the true gate of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that today, our prayer ministry team will be here afterwards. If you've never taken that step of receiving Christ, of entering through the gate, they would love to pray for you. It could be, as I've suggested, that maybe you've been prompted by the Spirit to enter through a new gate of service, a new gate of offering that abundant and eternal life. And they'd love to pray for you for that as well. And then, once we've entered through that gate, in a world where there are so many pressures, and we saw it reflected in the video by the young people and the release that comes as they moved from the black and white to the colour, we need to know that that release is found in the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus, to rest assured in the abundant life that is found in him, in his word, and in following his way forever. May we rest in that and trust in him. Let's stand and pray, and would the music group come forward. And if you're comfortable just to put out your hands to receive from God, I'm going to pray for you. Holy Spirit, would you work afresh in our lives today, that we would enter through the gate, that we would know you as our good shepherd guiding our lives, and through your Spirit do a new work in each of us, that we may increasingly offer that abundant and eternal life and reflect it in all that we do day by day. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.